Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here to kick off November here on the show. Can you believe it? It is already November, and Pam is back from Disneyland and Alani, and we've got some great Disney talk to kick off your weekend just a little bit early. First, a quick word from our sponsors. That includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. Of course, you know that the Magic for Less is a platinum earmarked agency, which means they are the best of the best. Let me just remind you, right now is a great time to still sneak down to Walt Disney World. The Christmas parties are starting next week. The decorations are going up in the resorts. There's going to be Christmas trees in the parks. So many holiday events going on. You can eat your way through the parks with special events. You can hear great background loops that change during the holiday season. See the decorations on Main Street USA. The studios looks beautiful. Hey, if you can do it, there's still plenty of time to get down to Walt Disney World here in 2018. Drop by themagicforless.com. Fill out that free, no obligation quote. And an agent will get back to you right away to check on that availability and pricing and try to get you a discount still. There are discounts. Gift of Magic's out there. So let's see what we can do. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Again, with the holidays approaching, please bookmark our Amazon affiliate link on all your devices. It's at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Anytime you do that online shopping, we sure appreciate it when you go through our link because Amazon gives us a little bit of a cut. It costs you exactly the same, and it goes to our bandwidth and hosting and helps keep the show the best it can be. So again, bookmark it on all your devices, and we appreciate it so much. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1402 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. Hope that you all had a great Halloween with your friends and family. We are, get this, we're in November now. It is November. It is actually my daughter Paige's 22nd birthday. And to put that in perspective, she was 11 when we started the podcast. She's in middle school.
That's crazy.
She's now graduating from college in about 3 or 4 months. No, well, the end of the, whenever, May. I don't know, 5, 6 months, whatever it is. I still can't. I'm in shock. You know, crazy. Just keep telling her, get a J-O. She's like, what am I going to do next? I'm going to get a job and start, you know, paying the bills. That's right. Wasn't that the goal of college?
J-O-B,
that was the goal of me. You know, hey, I got a job. I became a teacher. And boom, I was teaching the next day after graduation. And have never stopped working a day since. So I told her, she's like, that doesn't sound fun. I'm like, yep, that sounds like the real world. Get a job. You've had your fun at Mizzou, so now go out and work. Anyway, we're having, so happy birthday to Paige. I'm sure she's going to love hearing that. She doesn't listen. Anyway, so we're going to have a great time today talking Disney with you. Ricky's still out of town or, you know, just returning from Walt Disney World. We'll talk with her next week. But joining me today from the Magic for Less Travel, we have the co-owner, Pam Forrester. Still hanging in there, Pam. What's going on?
Hey, I'm excited. We're going to come up with solutions for people who are venturing into Hollywood Studios, but then get a little hungry and don't know what to do. And let me tell you, been there many times, many, many times. It's a problem.
It is, but it's
a challenge.
That's what I was going to say. Yes, that's what I was going to say. It's something that I think, you know, we're talking about dining at Disney's Hollywood Studios. You know, you're over there. You want to experience all the new hotness of Toy Story Land. You know, and there's a lot to do there. You've got Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam in the evening. Maybe you're hanging out to see that here as the Christmas season is upon us here in the next couple of weeks. You got the Star Wars fireworks. You got so much going. I mean, still, and the thing is, here's the thing why I thought about this, because as the Christmas season comes along, I think that the studios is definitely a place to be, especially at night. You know, I think that this is a great place to, while you want to go there early in the morning, if you don't have fast passes for Slinky Dog or Alien Swirling Saucers or, you know, Toy Story. I'm trying to decide because, again, this is the first Christmas season with Toy Story Land, but with all the accoutrement, as you have said, I don't even know what that means, but I've heard you say it many times, and I think it sounds fancy, that they're going to decorate Toy Story Land with. You know, I think that Toy Story Land really pops at night because I mean, in July, it's still decorated with Christmas lights. These are going to be Christmas lights in Christmas, you know? So I think it's, I mean, is it not the place to be at night? I mean, it's definitely top two.
Absolutely. It really is going to be. I can't wait to see this land decorated for the holidays because they've been doing such a great job with Hollywood Studios to begin with lately. That they've got to wrap in Toy Story. There's going to be wreaths and lights, and it's just going to look amazing. And that's one of the things I'm most looking forward to.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, the thing with the studios is, and we all know this as Disney fans who've been there many times, or maybe you haven't been there yet and you're planning a vacation, and this will give you kind of a heads up and some ideas to go in with, you know, a strategy. I think the best thing about Disney in like being a fan, you know, somebody who is listening to today's podcast, who's reading blogs, who's keeping up with the news, is that you always want to have plan A, plan B, plan C, you know, if not written down. Trust me, many of my guests have it on, you know, Excel sheets and everything. This is, you know, red is plan A, yellow is plan B, green, you know, whatever. That's awesome. I just keep it in my head and in hope. But the thing is, I think you need to kind of have an idea of what you're getting yourself into. And when you go to the studios can be a place where it can be challenging to find a meal that everybody's going to enjoy. But it can also be a place where you can have some of your most remarkable meals at the same time. So the way I want to think about this is, say you go there for rope drop and you're there early in the morning, you want to see Toy Story Land, probably the reason you're going first. Hey, if you go to the, if you go down Sunset, you probably got it all to yourself for the first couple hours. You could ride Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster probably seven or eight times before anybody even knows you're in the park. Let's talk breakfast. Okay, so options for breakfast at the studios. I mean, the first thing I'm thinking of is Starbucks, you know, because I want to be quick. I want to grab maybe a drink and a roll. Do they even... I don't go to Starbucks, but do they even have like cinnamon rolls at that Starbucks right there on Hollywood?
They do. They have like rolls. They have like egg sandwiches. They have lots of little choices. So, I mean, I think that that's absolutely something that you can think about is going to Starbucks and seeing what they have available. They do have some breakfast sandwiches. So don't feel like, you know, you only are, if you are someone who wants an egg, you're going to be able to get an egg there.
Yeah. And I think it's, this is just me, but I have to have protein every morning to start. Like I got to have an egg or, you know, something with, you know, sausage or so. Otherwise
or I
I'm just burning through. When it burns, if I have a cinnamon roll, it's good going down, but man, I'm going to be mean in a couple hours. I'm just telling you, I'm going to be one mean hot dog. So I'm just saying, I'm trying to think like where else around the park
you can do Woody's Lunchbox.
Okay.
They have the raspberry lunchbox tart and the hazelnut lunchbox tart. And then they also have some entrees. They have the s'more French toast sandwich, the banana split yogurt parfait, smoked turkey breakfast sandwich, and a breakfast bowl. So they have some things available, and they have kids meals available too. So that's someplace else that you can go.
And one of my guests, we were working on a bounce back while she was there. She's actually still there. And we were talking about how she did the early morning Toy Story experience where you pay extra, you go in early, yes, you get, you know, exclusive ride time, but it also includes a breakfast. And one of the things that she shared with me is that the breakfast was a highlight, you know, where I think when Ricky and I talked about this, you know, a while back, I thought that honestly, the draw of it is to be able to ride Slinky Dog and get on the rides and, you know, not be in there with the masses. But she said, you know, don't discount the breakfast. That was a really good part of the overall experience. So I like hearing that.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that because I think, you know, that was an important component of it. Look, you knew it was going to be a value in terms of being able to ride those rides when you, you know, might not have had the opportunity to get the Fast Pass. So glad to hear it's a value in that way, too.
Is there not a breakfast option down Sunset, like at Fairfax Fair or Rosie's? Maybe not.
I don't think there is.
You're just starving down there. Sorry. All right. So let's kind of like overall look at the studios. Okay. So the studios, when it comes to counter service meals, when we're talking like lunch or, you know, anything beyond lunch or dinner, my go-to is always Backlot Express, which there's a lot of, you know, the thing is, when I go to Backlot Express, I'm not looking for great food, but what I like about Backlot Express, there's a few things that make this my go-to. Well, it's one of the only Connor Service Places in the Park, which is number one, but it's got lots of seating. It's got something on the menu that even the pickiest families, probably everybody can find something you like. You got chicken nuggets, you got chicken and waffles, you got a burger, you have usually like a salad. I think there's some kind of a chicken sandwich typically on there. And they usually have like one or two really nice kind of desserts on the menu as well. They also have alcohol if you want to get a beer or some kind of a, you know, not a wide variety of things, but you can get like a beer or like a wine. So it's got, while it's not a huge menu, I think it does kind of cover the bases as far as a theme park restaurant where everybody can find something. It's a theme park counter service restaurant, which if I'm at the studios and I just want to grab some, you know, chicken nuggets and a Darth Vader waffle for like $8 or $9, I'll do that and get a dessert. So it fits the bill if I'm in a hurry and I just want to eat something, but it's not a destination to eat. Do you agree there, Pam?
Yeah, I do. Unfortunately, I think that many of the quick service restaurants at Hollywood Studios are really just filling like, they're open and they're serving food, right? It's not something that people really dream about. Now, again, Woody's Lunchbox, they're serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. So you do have those options for there. And that's kind of a newer option. And I think someplace that people are really heading to. But if you're looking for creative quick service menus, those just really aren't happening that much in Hollywood Studios. I will say, though, one of the places that we've been going more recently is Baseline Tap House. And again, they do not have a lot of different items. They really only have like a pretzel, a charcuterie plate, some almonds, and they recently came up with this ribeye steak puff. But if you're looking for something that you can just grab and something that's not going to be a real heavy meal, order a few of those. And those are something that you can do, too. And then you don't have to do like Backlot Express, or the other one that comes up a lot is ABC Commissary. It's open for lunch and dinner too. But again, not anything really exciting there. I actually used to think that they had more exciting things than they do right now. So,
yeah, I'm with you. And you know what? I didn't even think about ABC Commissary until you just mentioned it. And I used to go there probably, I bet you haven't been in there for 3 or 4 years.
Cuban sandwich. They used to have the Cuban.
Yes,
sandwich.
And that's what I used to get all the time was the Cuban. And it was very, very good. But the thing, I don't know, you know, because I like to think about, it's kind of meta, but I like to try to think about why I do what I do at Disney. And I used to always go to the commissary, because I love the music they played, the background loop with all the old ABC theme shows in that area and so
That's
forth. And I was, yeah, it's so cool, especially when they play Love Boat. I got a text the other day from Ricky, and I had missed it by the time it was on. She's like, hurry, turn on the Today Show. All the Love Boat people are on the Today Show. But I was on the treadmill, and it was already too late. I was like, dang it, I missed Captain Scooping. But, you know, that was the first place I always went, and I think it, and it's weird because it is right centrally located in the studios, but I think it does pass everybody over. I don't know. It's just one of those places that's your other option for counter service. Of course, you got Rosie's down on Sunset, but really that's just like hot dogs and burgers. It's less extensive and it's outside too, than Backlot Express. So that, you know, that's where you're going. Here's kind of what I run into when I go to the studios, when I get hungry, is you have some good counter service options, but you have some really, you're not going to pay that much more to go to a 50s Primetime or a Sci-Fi. Now, of course, if you go like the Brown Derby, you're going to be paying more because that's a signature restaurant. But I'll find myself, and I did this on the last trip, where I got on the app, looked to see what was available within like an hour or two, and we got a table at 50s Primetime. And, you know, by the time I get just the meatloaf there, it's maybe $5 more than what I would spend at, of course, then you got a tip and you got more of a time commitment, but you're getting to sit down. Somebody's bringing the food to you. You're not hustling as much as you have to at a counter service meal. So I find that, you know, of course, a table service meal is more, but it's not significantly more if you go to Sci-Fi or 50s Primetime at the studios.
No, it's true. And your other option is that you can eat in the lounges. There's one at 50s and there's one at the Brown Derby. And the one at Brown Derby in particular has a menu that's not available inside the Brown Derby. It has some small plates, which have some really good food there. And they also include the famous Brown Derby Cobb salad too, but they also have some sliders and a charcuterie board and some pork belly, you know, things like that. So that's something that's always an option, and you cannot make reservations to eat at the Brown Derby Lounge. Now, the 50s Primetime Lounge really just serves what's available in 50s. But you don't have to worry about a reservation. You can eat right there at the counter, and you have access to the full menu there at the 50s Primetime. So that's a good choice as well.
Yeah, the people that are eating in the Tune-In Lounge, they're always killing me because, like, you know, they'll roll out with, like, a, you know, a sampler platter, and they're sitting at the bar eating, and I'm just waiting in, like, one of the retro chairs by a black and white TV, like, just please call my name. I'm so hungry. I just need some meatloaf and chicken. They're killing me. But, yeah, that's a great opportunity to sneak in. And these lounges, you've said this for years, but they're a great opportunity to get food from the restaurant without the commitment of an ADR, you know, because I think without an ADR, a lot of times you're boxed out. And, you know, one of the worst restaurants I've found on property to get an ADR, honestly, like, and say you have four people and all of a sudden your party is six is 50s. Like, they do not let you tag people on there. Like, I can sweet talk my way into some adding people many, many places. Boy, the 50s, I don't know if it's like the stick or whatever they do, you know, whatever they're doing there, you know, they're like, nope. And I'm like, okay, you're just kidding. No, they're not letting me get two people in there. But it is a great opportunity to, you know, to go to the Tune-In Lounge and kind of just take in the atmosphere that way. And it's easier. It's flexible. Now, let me ask you about Brown Derby over at the studios. One of the few places I've never eaten. So for folks who, and here's the reason I've never gone there. And this is just kind of, I don't know if it's true for our listeners. I'd like to hear some feedback over the weekend on Facebook, but Brown Derby, here's why I've never been there. If I'm going to do a signature meal, I'm going to go to a place that's more of an experience, like, you know, like a Jico or a California Grill with its big, you know, views, or, you know, what have you. It's got to be food plus view or food plus theme or Brown Derby is, you know, it's so under the radar and it just doesn't pop. You know, it doesn't seem like it's an experience. Am I missing something there? I mean, because it's signature, but it just doesn't seem to stand out.
It is a signature restaurant, and the decor inside is very old Hollywood. So it's not an in-your-face kind of theme, but it's absolutely themed throughout. It just really is. They do a great job with it. There's the caricatures. You feel like you are in old Hollywood. And they have some good meals at different times. I think what happens is oftentimes you look at the menu, and for me, there's not like a standout dish that I'm like, oh, I want to have that. So that's something to think about.
Okay, I get that. And of course, I mean, the Cobb salad, is it the grapefruit cake for the dessert that everybody raves about over at Brown Derby? I got to give that a shot. You know, because I think it sounds like something that I need to do. And again, you know, as you become a Disney fan and as you go time and time again, you want to make sure that you do check off some of these experiences. And that's where I am with Brown Derby. Haven't been there, but it is on my radar probably to do this year before the podcast cruise. Give it a shot. Again, but with kids, is it a place that kids would enjoy? I mean, what's your best tip on if you have like I got, you know, Mallory will be 11. She's definitely not a foodie, and it's not like a place where, say, you're at Sinai, you can see the animals. You know, like, there's not a – I wouldn't assume that there's a big distraction there. I would say you're there for the food.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I really do. It just is – it's not something that's overwhelmingly, like, that kids are going to find that exciting.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I think you're there more for the food than the atmosphere, but the atmosphere is kind of a – secondary thing, you know, where it might not be secondary in some of these signature restaurants. But Joanne does have, they have the typical kid food, so that's good too. I appreciate that, Joanne. So let me ask you this. Okay, so when you are at the studios, of course, you have very experiential restaurants in all three of those. I would say more at 50s Primetime, where the, you know, the cast kind of gets into, the wait staff gets in on, you know, they'll call you cousin, they'll put somebody, you know, they've been doing more of that. I noticed this past summer of putting people in the corner, you know, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I've also seen too that at Sci-Fi that that food is getting better and better as time has gone on. There was a time where sci-fi was really rated super low as far as the food quality. People went there for the experience of going to a drive-through or drive-in rather than the food. But I'm hearing lots of good stuff about the food as well.
I know. Isn't that funny how things kind of go full circle? For a while, sci-fi got the reputation of being like the worst restaurant in Walt Disney World. Remember? It was like the worst. Everyone was like, don't go there. And now I've heard recently, oh my gosh, we had a great meal at sci-fi. Like, sci-fi is solid. Like, you know, so I love seeing stuff like that. I think it's really cool. And I think the thing that appeals to people about sci-fi in particular is that it has food that we're all sort of familiar with, right? We're talking burgers and like chili cheese fries and
milkshakes,
you know, onion rings and stuff like that. I've noticed that they've had fried dill pickles, and that's a big thing in Pittsburgh. It has always been. So anytime I see fried dill pickles, I'm like, oh, I want fried dill pickles. But they have like a wedge salad. They have a buffalo chicken salad. They have sort of comforty food that is that's interesting too. They also have some nice vegetarian options, like a vegetarian falafel burger, and a vegan tofu lettuce wrap, which I think is interesting. But they have food that I think that you'd find in a diner. And when you're talking about desserts like house-made sci-fi candy bar.
Boom.
Hello. Warm glazed donut.
Oh.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
And s'mores brownie and ice cream. So, I mean, these are desserts that people want to have. I mean, who doesn't want a s'mores brownie? So I've heard, you know, lots of people like, you know what? We always go to sci-fi now. So it's come a long way.
It has. It's come back. You know, and I think, again, it was for the experience 5 years ago. Now it's definitely for the food and the experience, which is great. You know, when you think about it, there's been kind of a revival in the past, I'd say, 2 to 3 years of food trucks. And of course, they're all around Walt Disney World. But if you think about the offerings at sci-fi, it's almost like food truck food, you know, that they're bringing right to your car.
Love that. And plus you get some entertainment. And I think that's something that's really cool. You know, we always crack up at the little clips that are playing, you know, on the thing. Not only is it the monsters and the aliens, but just the advertising, right?
Yes.
I mean, some of the advertising is awesome. I think there's like some kind of note about PDA too, like public displays of affection. So a little educational moment for everyone too.
Yes, take your preteens there and just let them know how you correctly drop off your date after the date.
Right.
So, dad and mom are waiting on the other side of that door. Just so
that's right.
You know, Brittany actually in the live chat brings up a great point about Brown Derby. And I think this is something she is spot on with this comment. She says, I think the theming made more sense when Hollywood Studios was more of a Hollywood themed, for a lack of a better way of putting it. And I think she's exactly right, where the studios is kind of shaking that old Hollywood theme with, you know, the new, you know, you're going to have Galaxy's Edge, you're going to have Toy Story Land now. So maybe it's it fit in perfectly in like the early 90s, where maybe not so much today.
Where they said like the theme was that they bring you into the movies. Mm-hmm. Now it's sort of shifted from where they bring you into the movies to now this is where the movies live. This is where you can sort of go and visit the movies, right? I'm going to be able to visit Star Wars. I'm going to be able to visit Mickey and Minnie. I'm going to be able to visit, you know, those kind of things, visit Indiana Jones. I kind of like that. But yes, you aren't going to be able to go to Hollywood Studios and see an episode of Home Improvement being filmed anymore.
Dang.
Oh. I know, right? Oh. But that brings back fond memories.
It does. Okay, so I want to say shout out to Lauren, who is watching in a town that is very near Walt Disney World. It's on the screen. And I got to tell a joke real quick about this town's name. Okay, so she's watching in Kissimmee or Kissimmee. Some people don't know exactly how it's pronounced. So there was this couple that was driving through Kissimmee or Kissimmee. They were arguing about how you pronounce this town that is next to Walt Disney World. So they're in the car. It's an older couple. And they decide, we're going to solve this once and for all. We're going to pull off the interstate. I guess it's I-4, and they're going through a fast food restaurant. They're going to go into the drive-thru and they're going to ask, how do you pronounce this name? Because obviously these people live there. They work at the fast food restaurant. So they go in, you know, they're in the drive-thru lane. They get up. They're like, you know, welcome to whatever. How can we help you? And so the guy, you know, is sitting in the driver's seat. The woman's in the passenger seat. And he's like, we're in this big argument and we need to know how to pronounce, you know, where are we? How do you say where we are right now? And the person comes back and says, sir, we pronounce it Burger King. Stupid. I heard that.
It's a dad joke.
Yeah, it is a dad joke. I heard that on Trucker Radio the other day. So I was like, oh, Kissimmee, we can incorporate that with the podcast because it's Florida.
And capital
it's,
B.
It's Orlando.
Burger King.
Anyway, stupid joke. And Amy just jumped in. We just answered your question. So listen to that on Wednesday. And Tina says her family loves sci-fi because her parents remembered seeing those movies at the movies.
That's hysterical.
It is. And there's actually a mention of a monkey that was at the St. Louis Zoo. So I get a kick out of that every time. He's like riding a little whirly bird.
Tina,
kind of ride.
Did they know the PDA commercial? Let's just ask that.
I hope so. But you know what? Here's kind of an under-reported thing. When you go to the studios and you get hungry. Now, this is for the time of the year when there's longer park hours because this is more of a time commitment. But if you think about it, you can hop on that friendship boat and you can quickly have access to the Swan, the Dolphin, the Beach mm-hmm. Club, the Yacht Club, and the Boardwalk, which is some of the best dining out there. Now, Pam, is this something... This is kind of an outside-the-box strategy, but it's a great way to incorporate a great meal, get outside the crowds, and then come on back. That's what I would think about doing, too.
Absolutely. You know, even during, you know, times of the year when the park's going to be open longer, one of the places that you can plan on eating and make an advanced dining reservation for is the new Ale and Compass, which I think has solid food offerings. Go ahead and eat there. Then you can either take the boat or walk over to the studios in the evening and enjoy that. But you also have greats like Beaches and Cream. Ale and Compass has a lounge. You can have that. You know, they have some fancier meals with yachtsmen, but then they also have Cape May Cafe. The Boardwalk has fancy meals like Flying Fish, but then they also have Big River Grill and Trattoria Al Forno. So lots of things. And of course, ESPN is there too, which I don't know. Every now and then I look over at that and I'm like,
I like ESPN. I like ESPN. I think it's because that's my food. Like I like bar food. I like sports. I mean, I think it's underrated. I wish they'd make it bigger. So especially
bigger?
With, yes, it is, but it's still impossible to get in. Like when there's a big game going on, you know what I'm saying? Like say, you know, during the college football playoff or the Super Bowl or, you know, what I really noticed when it was really hard to get in was during World Cup because, you know, I think people need a place to gather. Just, I mean, here's the way I see it. Like Walt Disney World is an amalgam of people from all over the planet. But when your team is in the big game, people need a place to rally and a place to rally where there are wings and beer and sports. That's kind of like the Buffalo Wild Wings theme. But I mean, you know, the ESPN club does that too. You know, I think that, I saw this. Paige was really into World Cup a couple of years ago. We were down there in the summer, and it was a great place. I was not a soccer fan at all. I'm an American sports guy. I try to enjoy soccer, but I just can't. I can't get into it as much as some people. But here's what I loved was that I loved being in ESPN. It was a game like with Colombia playing against Brazil. And these people, like, we were watching the game, but I was there more for the food. You can see Mallory back there. Peeking in, by the way. Hi. And she was in the shot. So anyway, we're there. And the thing is, as a pure sports fan, I love the atmosphere because, like, as somebody who doesn't really enjoy soccer as much as others, every crossing pass, I mean, people were dying. I mean, like, people were falling on the floor every time there was a shot, you know, and like the one team won, the other team lost. And I mean, you could cut the tension in that place, man. I thought there might be a civil war, like in the place when the one team won and the other one, because sports are serious business. And I like being in that kind of an environment. So that was kind of fun. But I like what you're saying, you know, incorporate Beaches and Cream. That's not something that's going to take forever. You can get a good meal. You know, you also have Ample Hills, you know, go get a good dessert, head on back and enjoy the night. Because I think to me, while the mornings at the studios are going to be about get as much done as you can, especially with Toy Story Land, I think the evenings are going to turn in, especially during the holiday season, into atmosphere soaking in, right? I mean, you know, I want to hear the background loops. I want to see the jingle bell, jingle bam. I want to enjoy the decorations of Toy Story Land at night. And that's something you can slow down and see, where if you schedule, say, a 4 or 5 o'clock dinner, 6 o'clock dinner at the boardwalk or beach club, yacht club, what have you, I think that's a great kind of compromise for a good day at the studios.
I agree. And then one of the other things you can plan on doing is stopping at some of those places like the Sweet Spells shop. They have some great sweet treats, and you can enjoy those as you sort of soak in that atmosphere. Or go to like Hollywood Scoops and get some good ice cream there. Or to one of the Joffrey's coffee and tea kiosks and get a hot or a cold drink. The one thing that the studios does seem to have is lots of places to grab a good snack.
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, you know, at least you have that option available to you.
And somebody mentioned earlier, we were talking about breakfast options at the studios, was that the Joffrey's kiosk right outside of Toy Story Land at the studios has donuts. And I will say, I've had their donuts, and their donuts are solid. They are great.
One of those great pink monstrosities too. Those great big huge.
That's what I had. I think that's what it was. Is that not a donut or was some game was so?
No, I think you can get those there. So
this hot dog liked that donut. I'm just saying. So. Lots of options, you know, and I think we went into it saying it's scary to try to eat at the studios, but if you think outside the box, it can be an opportunity. You know, lots of great snacking, lots of great lounge eating, you know, where you can get the full-on meals, but you can also have a different atmosphere of the lounge. Counter service lacking, I have to say that. But other than that, if you just go scarf down some chicken and waffles for $9 or $10 back at Backlot Express and kind of supplement that throughout the day with great snacks, it's a great day. There you go. So
not much to complain about.
Not really. I think with every problem you have when it comes to Walt Disney World trip planning, I think there's an equal opportunity for a fun solution.
That's right. That's what it's about, is finding something different.
And
I mean, you don't always have to have a headliner.
No, you really don't. I mean, and you know, think about the opportunities at Walt Disney World for snacking. Really. I mean, of course you need protein throughout the day, but I mean, you could really not do a meal and just snack your way around for a weekend and really have a great time.
Yeah. I would come back home without much to complain about.
No, not really. So I know it is Wine and Dine race weekend. This weekend got lots of lizards descending on Walt Disney World as we speak. So everybody have some great runs this week. I shouldn't say that. I should rephrase that because we're talking about dining. Have a great time out on the race course this weekend. It's a fun weekend. It really is. Wine and Dine. You know, we run to eat, eat to run, and that's kind of the celebration of that down at Walt Disney World this weekend. So please, please, please post your pictures and all your medals and the fun times out on the courses and the fun times together as lizards. I'm sad that I'm missing this one, but lots going on with Paige's birthday this weekend. She's coming home. So post those, hashtag run BOGP this weekend. I'll retweet those. I'll get those out there. But most importantly, you know, have a great weekend. Have a celebration. Have fun. I know that you guys are going to have some personal bests. You're going to maybe not have personal records out there. And you know, more importantly, just get great pictures, you know, and great fun and great memories. So have a great time at Wine and Dine Race Weekend. Wish I could be there, but can't wait to see everybody sharing on social media. So that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much to our friends at the Magic for Less Travel for sponsoring today's show, as always. And like I said at the top of the show, it's November, but it's still not too late to get down there here in 2018 and see all the great Christmas offerings. You know, if you're somebody like me, I'm happy with the Christmas snacks. I'm happy with going to a Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. I'm happy with, you know, it doesn't take much to make me excited. Give me some Christmas lights and some background loops, and you got a happy hot dog right here. So I'm just saying, but there are rooms available. There's discounts still available here and there. But what you need to do today is drop by themagicforless.com, fill out that free no obligation quote, pick a resort, pick some dates, and an agent will get back to you right away just to talk about the possibility of getting down there to see it snow on Main Street USA, or, you know, to see the wonderful decorations over at the studios during the holiday season. you know, I'm missing the Osborne lights, but you still got the Christmas music everywhere. You know, swing by Wilderness Lodge, see that amazing tree, go through Fort Wilderness and see the awesome decorations that are put on by the guests, which is pretty cool. So there's so much to do during the holiday season, and you can still make it happen. So drop by the magicforless.com today. And again, as the holidays do approach, please do support the show with our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We thank you so very much for that. And give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Pod and at Be Our Guest Mike. And again, the great Facebook page over at facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, time to duck out of here and let you have an amazing weekend. Again, happy birthday to Paige. And great runs to all of the Be Our Guest Podcast listeners. Get out there, have some fun, make some memories, and enjoy every single mile, every single step. And we'll be back again on Monday. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. And until we see you again, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.